Welcome back to Sister Brunch with me, Fanchon Cox.
And me, Anya Adams.
Sister Brunch is a podcast about Black women plus striving and thriving in media, entertainment, and the arts. And we cannot wait to share more stories with you over the next few weeks.
Today's guest is our first actor and singer, Alex Newell. They're known for their role as Unique Adams on the Fox musical series Glee and Mo on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, for which they earned a Critics' Choice Award nomination. I was there when that happened. Amazing. Newell also starred as Asaka in the 2017 Broadway revival of Once on This Island at Circle in the Square Theater. I also saw that and it was amazing, and received a Grammy nomination for the role, as they should have. As a singer, Newell has released tracks with Clean Bandit, Blondie, and The Knox, and has released numerous dance pop singles that have garnered millions of streams and US and UK dance chart success.
Yes, we are so honored to have you on. We know you are busy. We know you've been dealing with the pandemic in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. We know that you need to have some rest time, but we are thrilled to have you on, Alex.
You guys are sweet. That little bio thing makes me sound real important and stuff.
You are so important.
No, I'm as kind, I'm as smart, I'm as important. And yes, I just had the Covisha all up in my lungs, but I got her out in 5 days. Five whole days.
Because that's how we do. That's how we do.
Don't worry, I have my Pedialyte on stat, like next to me at every juncture, because dehydrated.
Yes, we need you. We need you. Stay hydrated and all of the above. Alex, okay. Will you take us back to like the beginnings, especially as a gender nonconforming person, a Black person, really striving to be in the industry? Can you, as far back as you want to go, could be the day you were born or wherever you'd like. How did you do this?
I don't know. Oh my God, how did I do this? I have no clue. I am probably one of the utmost luckiest people on this planet, but I've worked extremely hard to maintain said luck. I was 2 years old and my mother took me to our state fair in Massachusetts, and she turned around to get me a juice box, and I ran away from her and walked onto the stage, grabbed the microphone, yes, and started singing.
No way.
Yeah, so that's the origin story to my villain. But that's when I've always known that I wanted to be a singer. Singing was my first passion, and for the most part, acting and everything else kind of just fell into my lap. I knew that I wanted to sing on stage. I knew that I wanted to bring joy to people when I sang. I just didn't know what that looked like, and I'm so happy that I've been lucky and worked really hard. I said yes to a lot of things, and now I know what to say no to in my short 29 years of living. Fraudulent.
Youngin.
Thank you.
Where in Massachusetts? I just gotta know real quick.
I'm from Lynn. It's a little small town where there are more Black people than white.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went, and my mother put me in the whitest of white schools. I went to a Christian school from the time I was in first grade to third grade, and then I went to a charter school, and then my high school education was a Catholic school where I was one of three Blacks.
Whoa.
Wow.
So my code switch is really good.
Which is why you're such a great actor now.
Yeah. It's just like I really can just manifest whatever I want to be.
Yes. Were you encouraged, like, in the school environment, and especially in being gender nonconforming, was that something that came later, or were you able to be free with that?
As I was...
Because I know Massachusetts, by the way. I also grew up in Boston.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, there's some interesting folk.
It's strange. I say that I went to a Catholic school, but my principal at that Catholic school was probably she was a nun, to be honest with you. Sister Kathy, love that woman to death to this day. She checks up on me, she calls me to this day. As I was finding myself, she just let me. You know, we had a uniform at the school where the boys wore, we had two polo colors, black, white, and navy blue, three. And then the girls had white, and they had pink, and they had yellow, and they had the black one. And I was like, hold on. Hold up. Why I can't wear the pink one? I want to wear pink. I would like to wear pink to school. And she was like, go ahead. Have fun. Wow. And like in the rule book, like that's how they marketed it. That's how they sold it. And she'd like, let me, you know, we, as you're in a uniform, you didn't have ways of expressing yourself other than accessories. And so, you know, I would go to PacSun and find the tightest of khaki pants and walk my behind through the school. And I would throw a scarf around my neck. And that's how I was known, always with the scarf on. But she really, I don't think I've really realized how much room she gave me to express myself and really find who I was, which is a beautiful thing. And I think more people should just give kids room to find themselves, make their own mistakes, make their own opinions on themselves, find different roots. And, you know, with having that, it freed me in my expression, in my acting and finding myself. Who gets to play a high school student while being a high school student?
Right.
Like
right,
no one gets right, to do yes. that. And so that's what really gave me the freedom to do that. And she really did that for me, especially being a nun in a Catholic school.
This is Sister Brunch with Fanchon Cox and Anya Adams. Stay tuned for more of our conversation with our inspiring guest, actor and singer Alex Newell. We're back. Check out more of our conversation on working in Hollywood with Alex Newell.
So your first kind of big thing, I'm bringing it up just because it's a part of your trajectory, is the Glee project and getting through there. So you kind of established yourself as this amazing singer who was playing this really interesting non-binary character. Do you feel like once you did that, people were just open to you, you know, playing these different roles as you moved through? Or were there challenges once you left Glee? What did that look like?
I think that there was a lot of challenges. I know there was a lot of challenges. I can't think. If there was, you know, where do we put Alex? Where does Alex fit?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of, well, go out for this role. Let's see if we can change their mind. Go out for this one. Maybe they can change it and mold it to you. And there wasn't anything that was set in stone for me. Because back then in 2012, which was only so long ago, there wasn't terminology. We didn't have the verbiage. We didn't have the language. We didn't know. We were still learning and adapting, and things were coming to back then. And so we didn't have the word non-binary. We barely had the word gender non-conforming back then. I would walk carpets being as stunning and fabulous as I am, and people were like, oh, so what's it like being trans? And I was just like, I'm not trans.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, what are you? And I was like, well, bitch, what are you? And it's that, and it's trying to, back then it was really just figuring it out. And so now we have all of these tools, we have all these resources, we have definitions, we have structure. And I think it's a beautiful thing, but like I was part of the first part of that and figuring it out with everyone at the same time. And it was hard to kind of carve and manifest in a way a lot of roles. I mean, I only play like ethereal gods and goddesses, but it's fine.
I mean, that's how you were born. Honey, to be that. So
that's what God allowed for me.
But it is kind of exciting to know that you're a part of you're trailblazing, you're breaking the mold so people can now step into these roles and be comfortable and say, well, Alex did that in 2014, you know. But I did find it interesting you saying you were going out for roles that weren't for you, but you were going out to convince them.
Yes.
Maybe you can change it.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Especially being a black person in that whole situation.
Well, baby, let's talk about going in for Mo in general, like on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. I mean, that's more recent. You know, I've known Robert Ulrich for years. He cast me on Glee. He cast me in the Glee Project. He brought me in for this role, the role which started off as a 30-year-old bisexual black woman. And I said, well, I'm black. I got one. I got one. And, you know, I walked in and I read it and I did it. And It was me. I think the common denominator was the love of music that the character, you know, I hate DJing on you, but they always want me to do the DJing. I said, I can't be doing all this and at the same time. But the love of music that this character had, you know, you go in these rooms and you want, I tell all of my kids, because I teach, I say, everyone on the opposite side of that table wants you to succeed. They want to make you, they want you to be the best. They want you to make their job the easiest that it possibly could be, where they look at you and they're just like, hope that you are going to be the one that I want for this character, for this part, for this role, for this project. And I had to trick my mind to that and be my best self in the room. And it made me my best self in the room, because I am doing a job to convince these people that, hey, it could be like this if you want it to be. This is also an option. I know this person is white. I know this person is white, but they could be black. I understand this person is not gender non-conforming. I understand this person is not what you think the ideal archetype that you want for this show, and you don't even know how to think about it yet. I can prove to you and show to you what the possibilities could be. And they're so vast. They are vast, they are richer, and they are better.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that it's about your truth, right? Yeah. Because that's what good acting is. That's what good directing, all storytelling is rooted in that truth. And the fact that you're saying, and you are in this position to say, there are other truths. They're not the ones that Hollywood has told us are the only truths, right? Yeah. I'm grateful to you. I think this is incredible, truly. Are there tools that you kind of tap into? Let's say you're about to go on an audition, or I would imagine just from this conversation already, I'm like, you gonna be writing stuff, you gonna be directing stuff, like there's just no question, right? So what are some tools that our listeners can use, and really us, me and Anya, when we need to tap into that strength that you're talking about to speak our truth?
You know, there's only one of you. You can't be nobody else other than yourself. My mama taught me at a good old young age. And I said, Mama, I have to. I just have to do it. And she said, baby, all you have to do in this life is be black and die. And I said, black, and I actually have to do both of those things. And it created such a vessel of individualism in me. I know that no one else can sing like I can. No one else can do the acting truth that I can. No one else can be me. Imitation is only the highest part of flattery. So, like, everybody can emulate and try to be me, but nobody on this planet can be me. And I think everyone should know that about themselves. And nobody else can be you.
Okay, I'm snapping over here.
Oh, same. I'm like, ooh, I have my inspiration. I have my inspiration to even, I'm going to listen to this episode again just as we go back into work in January. It's like, okay, be me, be me.
Yes, fad shit.
So, Alex, you work in so many different mediums, right? So first of all, I'm wondering, did you find any one of those a little more friendly or open to this truth? And where do we need to do better?
Yeah. You know, it's hard to be on camera. It's hard to be on camera. I have to get a facial every 2 weeks. I have to make sure I find my light all the damn time. When I am singing in a studio, it is dark. The lights are off. Ain't nobody care what I look like. I'm in sweatpants. I'm never in a sweatpant. I am myself. I think the music industry, as pigeonholed as it is, where when it's time to go out in the world and be a person, quote unquote, no one's a person in the music industry, but that the music and what you get to do is so freeing, because no one cares what you look like, because as my favorite quote from Dreamgirls, nobody can see her on a record. Nobody can see your face in the music. They can't see you when you're listening to something. And I think that that is so broad. I think we can do better by, like, knowing that not everyone is perfect. I understand that I look good at every light and angle, but
you can't help that.
Honey, I can't help it, honey. Even God is putting sunlight on my face right now, and I'm just like, Lord. I'm like, Lord, what did I do? So I don't know what God did for me, but no, that's not reality for most people other than me, because anybody can be me. But I think we need to do better by showing people and real people. And I think that we're going towards that. We are leaning towards that. Not everybody has the abs. Not everyone has all the hair down to their bahuta. Not everybody right. is always snatched and pulled. Like, we have, we yeah. need to move from that and show people. And, you know, it's the truth. I mean, there are some people that wake up fully beat. I don't know that person.
I gotta say, I have seen Jennifer Lopez when she just woke up. That's a whole nother story, but she looked good. She did.
That's unfair.
A couple people. I would imagine you are. You, I feel like that's you. And some, you're right. Some people just, but even that is an aesthetic that we've been told is beautiful, yes. right? Like, one exactly. of the things we have to push back against all the time is what do I really believe is beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. What is really truly yeah. attractive versus the messaging that we've gotten. And that's what I love. I feel like you are pushing back against all of that yeah. and in all your beauty and all your gorgeousness and all your fabulousness, right?
Stop like it.
You
are tell constantly... me more.
Let me just tell you how much I love you.
So I want to ask you a little bit about you've been talking about like the different projects. I'm wondering what stories you are interested in seeing told. There's so you said there's like this vast world that's, you know, not been tapped, but like, are there stories or things that you feel like, or you would love to see that you haven't seen yet?
You know, I would love to see more of a mother-son kind of relationship, because, you know, I love my mama. I don't tell her yeah. that often because I don't want her head to get big, but I love my, I wrote a whole song about my mama and people yeah. love it. But I love that relationship because I have had one of the strongest women raise me from the time I was six to still to right now currently still raising me by herself. I watched this woman fight her way to be able to pay my high school tuition and give me the opportunities that I don't think that I would have had without her. I've watched this woman work 11 to 7, from 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. I have watched her hug me and go to sleep while she sent me to school. I have watched her make so many sacrifices. And her strength and in that made me know that nothing in this world is that hard. Wow. Nothing else is that hard. Mm. To make all those to sacrifice seeing your own child so that they have a better life is a brilliant thing, because some people don't know what that unconditional love looks like. And I really want to see those stories. I want to see the struggle of that. I want to see the beauty in that, because there is so much beauty, because I am my mother's dream. I am my mother's dream. I am the hard work that she slaved away. I am the product of that I get to sit here on a compound in Los Angeles and live my dreams by singing and dancing and acting on stage, by making television, by making films, by recording, by touring, by seeing. She always says, you get to go to all these places and I'm so proud and happy for you. And I'm just like, one day you will be right there with me, because I don't fly coach and I'm not going to buy two coach tickets, baby. So I will leave you directly.
Hey, it's Fanchon, and you're listening to Sista Brunch. We'll be right back. And if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Sista Brunch. We're on Instagram, too, at Sista Brunch Podcast, and Facebook at facebook.com/Sista Brunch Podcast. Leave a comment, slide in our DMs, and share your news with us. We want to celebrate you and all your hard work. You already mentioned on film, you know, kind of on camera, these, you know, hitting your mark and making sure you're in the light and all the, and I found as a very brief TV film actor that I felt like a prop. And because so many of the decisions were in other people's hands, unlike even with theater, where you have this opportunity to explore with a cast and your rehearsal process and with the writer, and in singing too, because that is you, it's coming from your voice. I'm wondering, first of all, do you have aspirations as a writer? If you don't, we gonna tell you to do that. But are you able to, you've already talked about even in the audition process, but let's say once you're on set or even when you're doing the table read, do you have opportunities to really push for agency for the characters you're portraying?
Yes. Baby, I got a big mouth and I use it. a closed mouth does not get fed. And the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Yes. I'm a big
proponent. So true.
It's so true. I always say things. I mean, you know this. I'm the first one to say something. If I don't like it, I'm not going to do it. Mm. They ain't no telling me what to do. But it's always within reason, I hope.
Anya, she can let us know because she was on set with you, wasn't it?
I think you should actually. This is really interesting because I think it also ties into being Black. It's a stereotype that's there. Is the you always say what you think and what you feel, and it's very. It's not targeted. It's not mean. It's just matter of fact. But people really respond to that
differently.
You
know, yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's important to share your truth. But then with the amount of power that you have, people really, it's like, how do you mediate that?
Exactly.
Or, you know, talk a little bit about that.
It is. And I run in it all of my career. I've always run into this. Now that I've come into the person that I am today, because when I was on Glee, it was just like, okay, sure. Yep. I'm here.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I'm here. I'm not losing this opportunity. Now the bag is secure. I'm the first one to be like, let's not do that. And people are just like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had directors look at me and say, you don't have to be difficult. And I said, first of all, I'm not difficult, but I can be difficult. I can make this living hell for you. We can be here for 16 hours, baby, if you really want me to be difficult. But it's that. It's, you know, a lot of people aren't used to Black people speaking up. Because, you know, they sometimes in the back of their mind, you should be so lucky. You should be so lucky. Right. You're here. Why are you not respecting my time? And it's like, hold on. You're not respecting me now.
Yeah.
I've said so many things that people just think that I'm just being a diva or I'm being mean or it's targeted or they get defensive and they shut down. I'm just like, well, if I were white and a straight man, it'd be fine. It would be perfectly fine.
You'd be praising me for being assertive.
Exactly.
And, you know, kind of saying.
And if I was a mousy little white girl, it'd be the same thing because I would just start crying and you'd feel sorry for me. You would just feel sorry for me. But no, I just happen to have a little melanin in my skin because I'm a little darker. I'm not a Kelly Rowland, but I'm not a Beyonce, so I'm in the middle.
Of you who are just listening and haven't seen Alex Newell before.
I'm in the middle of Kelly and Beyonce, but I'm not Michelle. But they take pause with that, and it is very hard. And you know, I stopped caring. I've literally just stopped caring. I can't pacify you. I'm not your mama. I'm not your mama. I'm not your daddy. We are here to play adult make-believe.
Yeah.
It is adult it is adult dress-up, everybody. It is not that damn serious.
I hear what you're saying. It's like, and so you, as you said, you had to establish yourself, right? You have to get yourself to that place where you have that kind of leverage. Once you do, and you feel it out, right? You feel it out. Once you have that leverage, you push it some more, and I'm 51. So knowing that the work that so many before you have done to get you, like I think about Whoopi Goldberg, so many people that we are getting to see it happen. It's truly beautiful. We are getting to see you all, for you to be able to speak this way. I'm literally tearing up because I'm like, it's inspiring and hopeful.
Yeah.
It's like the work that everybody has done has led to this. We should ask about future stuff.
Yes.
When are you getting us the script about you and your mother?
I do the writing, darlings. When I say I do the writings, I look at a writer and I say, this is what I want, because I am terrible at typing. These hands, they're made for just making cooking and things and getting good manicures and gesticulating. But I did write a pilot that is about my mother's need for me to have kids. Quickly.
Oh, interesting.
I said, hold on. I'm 29. She said, yeah, late. I said, hold on. You have me at 36, ma'am. Don't put that on me. Put that on me. I'm young. I'm beautiful. I'm gifted. I'm Black. And she's just like, I need it now. And I'm just like, all right. So she really wants grandbabies because, you know, I'm the youngest in my entire family on both sides. The cousin above me is in her 40s. So that's the gap.
Wow. So you the one.
You have to come through.
I'm the one.
Yes.
You know, her sister, my aunt, just became a great grandmother. I said, well, Ooh. I don't know what to tell you, baby.
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't know what to tell you. I can't. And can't be me. Won't be me. I'm too busy for that. But it's that. And I have so many projects and I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them.
Wait, okay, let's talk though. Like, are they musical? Are they theater? Are they television?
Everything.
Is everything?
I got an offer to do a workshop in London in February. I got an animated Netflix movie that I can't talk about at all. I got another animated series. I got, what else do I got too many things. I'm so tired. Okay. I ain't take a vacation in my adult life yet, so I'm just a little tired.
Oh, no, you need that.
I do, don't I? But these people, they keep me in somebody's theater, on somebody's set, in somebody's vocal booth. I be tired.
You know? Did you get forced into a little bit of rest because you were in A Christmas Carol?
Yes.
The Amundsen.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to play through the new year.
Yes.
And now, tell us what's just happened.
Well, I got COVID and the show closed. Baby, basically. I didn't know how much power I had until I got COVID. That's it. Well, look at God.
Everything closes down when Alex can't be there. Look
when
at
the white man got the COVID, they said, shut this shit down. I said, it's in my lungs. You didn't do nothing for me. But as soon as you got it.
It was done?
Yes. But, you know, I don't like staying in quarantine. So I got tested every day until it came up negative. I didn't care.
Good for you.
I didn't care. I went directly to that place and got swabbed.
Good for you.
Yes. And so now are you going to affirm here with us that you're going to take some rest and tell us, see, and what are you going to do for rest?
I don't know.
Tell our, let's say for our listeners who need to know about self-care, what would you recommend that
they
do?
I'm the listener. I am the listener. It's me. Tell me. It's me. I don't know how to rest. I've been working nonstop since I was 18.
Nap ministry. Do you follow the nap ministry?
I am the praise and worship leader of the nap ministry.
Yes.
Okay. I will fall asleep any and everywhere. I don't care. I was filming this children's show on a day off because I was doing A Christmas Carol. We had a 4 days off and I was going back to New York and they gave me the offer to do the little puppet show. And I said, well, I'm here. Okay. And I'm sitting like this, just sleep. And the nice PA comes in, Alex. Alex. And I said, huh? Sleep. She said, it's amazing how you could just sit up right and fall asleep. I said, that's a gift and a talent. I love sleep. Sleep is me. That is how I rest. You don't sound like the blood of Jesus without sleep. I'm sorry.
This is true. Okay, there you go. Well, there you go.
Sleeping. One other thing we didn't talk about that you may or may not want to speak to, but are you comfortable about talking about your salary?
Yes.
About what you make?
Absolutely.
Let's just quickly just touch on that. Like, what do you make as a guest star? And maybe, like, what do you make as a series regular? Illuminate that for folks, because I think people don't know.
I always am be a guest star so they don't hold you down.
Okay.
Be a guest star, come in, twirl on the girls, and then twirl your ass on out.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't own you for 7 years. See, that's where they get you with this series regular. I would like one, please. Another one. But that's where they get you. They get you right in there. Mm. They're like, oh, yes, you get all these episodes guaranteed, this, such, and such. But on a guest star, if you negotiate correctly, I mean, guest star top of show is what? $9,500 now, I think.
I think
that's what it is. But that's like before tax and agent fees and things like that. Mm. Baby, I was broke as a joke on Glee. Them people had me living at the Park La Brea in Los Angeles, where the rent was $4,900 a month, but they would have me in 2 episodes a month, making $885 back then an episode, and I wasn't incorporated. So after tax, I was making and $3,000 each episode?
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor. Wow. Having to return shoes to Nordstrom just to pay my rent. I said, this is not it. This is not it. And then, you know, by the second season, I was at $20,000 an episode, but, you know, that's still not incorporated and taxable and agent fees. So it was more like 10, 11. So, and then, you know, that third season, I was at 30 an episode. And yes. So I got incorporated quickly. Mm-hmm. Quickly. Yeah. I said, you ain't taking all my money up, fam.
Y'all make, yep.
Get incorporated. Get your business. I think it's always make yourself a business because you are. We talk about being a brand. A brand is pay me. That is my brand. Hand me a paycheck and I will show up.
Yeah.
That is your brand, and you have to make sure that you are a well-oiled machine because this is a business. They don't call it show business. It's not called playtime.
Right.
We don't do this for cocktails. I love being transparent, especially with Black people. When I was on Broadway, I was telling these people exactly how much I was making.
Oh, will you talk about that for theater?
We have our equity union where the base minimum to be on Broadway or a union contract is like $2,100 a week. I don't know how anyone can make that and make a living off of it.
In New York City,
while paying agent fees, while paying taxes on it, and paying your equity dues, you're coming out of pocket for, you're making what, $4,000 a month?
Right.
And my rent in New York is $4,000 a month. I said, well, look at me just having a place to live. Ain't nothing in it. But I'm always very transparent, especially about Black people, because I want them to know to get what they are worth. You get the money that you are worth for. You, your talent specific, your what you bring to the table. I would go around that theater and I would look at company management and I would look at general manager and I said, I understand that I am just a number. I am a bottom line. I know you want me in this building no matter what because you want people in those seats to see me and my gift. Pay me for it. Pay me for it.
I love it.
I mean,
that's why we got to ask.
You have to ask. And also, don't be scared. Don't be scared to ask how much are you making?
Yes.
So that I know.
Because that's how the machine works is for us not to know so that we take a lesser salary.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. I also hate the word favored nations. I'm always like, favored for who?
Wait, can you explain what that is?
So favored nation means that everything is just blanketed. That everyone is the same. Quote unquote, everyone is the same. But you know, there are tiers to favored nation. Like I'm favored nations to whoever I'm billed with sometimes on that level. But the person that's billed above me is a favored nation to themselves.
Right.
So that's what that's favored nations mean. I said, it's not doing me a favor. It's not. It's not doing. But on Broadway, people thought that I was making bukus of money because I was the draw. I was the star. Apparently, if you're listening to this, I was the star. I was amazing. Hello. I wasn't. I was making $3,000 a week. Screaming for the girls in the sand pits of New York City, going around Manhattan, singing everybody's gala, going to the morning shows, going to the night shows, doing the show and pony shows, but making $3,000 a week. And the day that I asked for money, they said, why? I said, what you mean, why?
You're making a whole lot of money.
You're making bukus of money on top of my back.
Yep.
So if you could just run me, I don't know, a couple extra $1,000, I'd be so grateful. I would be so grateful if you would just give me an extra like $30. No, but it's that. And, you know, I remember the conversation of them like threatening to pull me from the Tony performance. And I said, go ahead. I could use the day off.
Oh, yes.
I could use the rest. So always don't be scared about money. And if someone's making more than you, there is always going to be somebody in this world making more money than you.
Yeah.
There's always going to be somebody making less money than you. Know these things and be comfortable with those things.
Love it.
And
love
I mean, specifically what you're saying is know your worth. Know your worth.
Yes.
And don't doubt yourself. Know your worth. And know that you're, like you said earlier, know who you are because, you know, who you are is your brand and it is so unique. It is you.
Tears.
That's really important.
And the
Alex, you're so awesome.
I know this is amazing. This is so beautiful.
Alex, thank you so much.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
Darling. Kisses, hugs, all the things. Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to seeing how all these projects unfold, and I hope that you do get a little bit of rest. Maybe one or 2 days of just sleeping. Enjoy that time. And we hope that you come back when you've done all these new things and because you've been wonderful.
You know, I love it. I have one note. Y'all gonna have to start bringing champagne and mimosas for brunch.
We will do this.
I am very upset. I am very upset that I'm not buzzed.
It's a really good point.
We will, the next time you come on, champagne will be provided.
Praise that God. Was the intention. That was the original intention.
That was the original intention.
That's how it got started.
That was our conversation with the fabulous Alex Newell. Visit sisterbrunch.com to find out more about them and how to support their upcoming projects.
Follow us on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. We are also on Twitter at Sister Brunch and on Facebook at facebook.com/sisterbrunchpodcast. Have you got questions for our Ask Sister Brunch segment? Visit sisterbrunch.com to fill out our questions form, and we might just read and answer yours on the air. Also, sign up for our monthly newsletter to get job tips and viewing recommendations and a whole lot more. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. Your support is so helpful and really important to us.
Our senior producer is Sonata Lee Narcisse. Our show producer is Brittany Turner. Our executive producer is Christabel Ncia Buade. We acknowledge that the land we record our podcast on is the original land of the Tongva people for those of us in Los Angeles. Can't wait to see you all next time. Take care until then. Bye.